Good evening. On behalf of my brothers, I'd like to welcome you this evening to the house of the Lord and do it in His name. I want to thank Sister Sherilyn for providing our ministry of music this evening. By way of introduction, we have Priest Scott Vollmer will be bringing our invocation this evening. We'll have Priest Harold Sharkey will bring our message, and Deacon Luke Richmond will bring our benediction. For a call to worship this evening, I would like to share from 3 Nephi, the 4th chapter. Behold, I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I created the heavens and the earth, and all things that in them are. I was with the Father from the beginning. I am in the Father, and the Father in me. And in me hath the Father glorified his name. I came unto my own, and my own received me not. And the scriptures concerning my coming are fulfilled. And as many have received me, to them have I given to become sons of God. And even so I will as to many as shall believe on my name. For behold, by me redemption cometh, and in me the law of Moses is fulfilled. I am the light and the life of the world. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And ye shall offer up unto me no more shedding of blood. Ye, your sacrifices, your burnt offerings shall be done away. For I will accept none of your sacrifices and your burnt offerings. For ye shall offer for a sacrifice unto me a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And whoso cometh unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, him will I baptize with fire and with the Holy Ghost, even as the Lamanites, because of their faith in me, at the time of their conversion, were baptized with fire and with the Holy Ghost, and they knew it not. Behold, I have come unto the world to bring redemption unto the world, to save the world from sin. Therefore whoso repenteth and cometh unto me as a little child, him will I receive. For of such is the kingdom of God. Behold, for such I have laid down my life, and have taken it up again. Therefore repent, and come unto me, ends of the earth, and be saved. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. We will continue now with the singing of hymn number 195, Fairest Lord Jesus. Thank you.
Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight to give thanks and praise to you for all of our blessings, to honor you, and we pray that your message will be brought forth through Harold, that he can present that message and that it may minister to us tonight, and that it may minister to those who listen to it later. We give thanks to you for all. We pray that you'll forgive us of our sins and that you'll be with us during this service and that your Spirit will fill our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
By way of introduction to the short scripture that I will read shortly from the Writings of Mormon, we find that preceding this event was the final battle at Cumorah, when the Nephites and the Lamanites had a great battle there, and ultimately all the Nephites were killed and at the hands of the Lamanites. Anyway, there were only 24 remaining, one of those being Moroni. And he lamented greatly after this happened, as he witnessed the death of all his countrymen and his friends and such. And there were some final words that he left, he added to his father's writings in the record that he would ultimately place in Hill Cumorah. And from the fourth chapter, the 21st verse in the Writings of Mormon, we read as such. For behold, the same that judges rashly shall be judged rashly again. For according to his works shall his wages be. Therefore he that smites shall be smitten again of the Lord. Behold what the scriptures say. Man shall not smite, neither shall he judge, for judgment is mine, saith the Lord. And vengeance is mine also, and I will repay. And he that shall breathe out wrath and strife against the work of the Lord and against the covenant people of the Lord, who are the house of Israel, and shall say, we will destroy the work of the Lord, and the Lord will not remember his covenant which he has made to the house of Israel, the same is in danger to be hewn down and cast into the fire. And the work of the Lord will roll on, and all his promises shall be fulfilled. May he add his blessing to the reading of his word.
We'll be singing hymn number 450, The Whole Wide World for Jesus, or hymn 450. We'll remain seated.
What a beautiful hymn. It says a lot that every man needs to confess the Lord. And I'm sure each of us here tonight know that in our hearts as well. I'd like to share some thoughts tonight on anger, outrage, and just vengeance, and the inability to deal with, as Christians, with our fellow humans at times. I'm sure that we've each had experiences that stir our emotions to the core and cause us to want to strike out, either against another or a condition or some situation in our life. We seek revenge, even if it's only momentary. Revenge is a very strong word and encompasses a broad range of human behavior and conditions and emotions as well. I understand a little better now the wisdom of God when he said that vengeance is mine. We know that when man is left to his own devices, many will suffer and even perish because of the evil, vengeful ways of man. Many times throughout history, God has shown his hand at work as he pours out his vengeance upon those who are so disobedient and punishing the evil ones at his pleasure. But as we reflect on our present world conditions and how nations deal with conflict and how they deal with each other, we see at the core of many of these disputes the desire to seek revenge and vengeance to settle their differences. Sometimes small events become bitter conflicts and war with much suffering and death. Great losses are suffered by each side, maybe, until cooler heads prevail and bring about peace from the conflict, and calm is once again restored. Sometimes the enemy must be even totally vanquished before the conflict ends, as we have just read in the writings here in the Mormon, when the Nephites were completely obliterated from the earth for the last time. There was none left to be had or to see, to be seen. But at any rate, wouldn't it be wonderful, though, if man sought God's ways when trying to resolve conflict that erupts, before it erupts, and seeks him rather than to rely totally on their own wisdom? But we know that the history of man kind of abounds with wars and conflict, where each side seek revenge and vengeance on each other. Thus we see the adversary at work in every age and at every level of their existence, whether it's individually or whether it's a nation at the national level. We know the answer, though, to this kind of a problem, and it will come, though, but it won't come until enough people seek a level of living where Christ will feel welcome to come down and establish his holy city again and reign amongst us, that we know to be Zion. When Zion does come about, though, peace indeed will reign and conflict will cease between the righteous as well as the heathens. In our own day, like that of old, the ways of mankind has remained influenced by that same adversary. We need not go back too far in ancient biblical times, however, to find how revengeful people were and can be. A brief survey of our own faith, it gives us ample evidence of how our brothers and sisters of the faith were sorely treated and suffered much at the hands of vengeful people. We know some events led to conflict by not exercising wisdom at times with their neighbors, perhaps. But much more occurred. Much sorrow and grief was brought about by just plain mean, spiteful, and vengeful people. Because some of our faithful brothers and sisters were not always abiding by the God-given commandments as they should, they suffered much. And you know, history is a great teacher if we but learn, and so that we don't repeat it. Someone much wiser spoke those words, and I truly believe that's a fact. Today, we are dealing with more and more with a culture that suffers from a get-even type of attitude or behavior. We can only look at local papers or listen to the news for a brief period to hear of some outrage and violent act that has been committed. Perhaps even while you're driving, maybe while you're shopping, even at the post office, we find people become belligerent at times and unkind. And they trigger in us an unkind thought, or even some evil thought, or worse sometimes. Other people express their frustration and anger because they think you got ahead of them in line. I had someone complain recently to me that I wasn't standing far enough away from them. I wasn't 6 feet. Well, we all know what I'm speaking about, and we have been the recipients of something like this, probably, or even worse. Why are people so impatient and unwilling to be kind and show kindness? I'll try to answer that later, but at the moment, I wish to address how do we respond to these acts at times when they occur to us. Do we give in to our emotion and react with anger, which might prove to be a poor choice, or do we just pass it on and by saying, I'm sorry, and even smiling? Unkind or uncivil behavior reveals much about our human nature. We never know or think about the scars or the hurt that we can cause by senseless things that we say or do at times of being angry. The thing that we often find ourselves doing is directing our anger sometimes at someone very close that we might strike out against. I'd like to share just a short story that illustrates my point quite well, I think. It's about a little boy that had a bad temper. And needless to say, it had earned him much trouble and conflict at his school. One day his father gave him a large bag of nails, and he told him, you will drive a nail for every time that you lose your temper each day, young man, and you'll hammer them in the back fence. The first day he had driven 37 nails. Gradually that number dwindled down and down, and he discovered it was a lot easier to hold his temper than having to drive a nail for each day that he didn't. Finally, the day came when he didn't lose his temper at all, and he proudly told his father about this, and his dad suggested then, you start pulling one nail per day and continue to hold your temper. The day finally came when he told his father that he had all the nails out of the fence. And his dad takes him by the hand. They walk down to the backyard. And he said, son, you've done very well, but look at all those holes in the boards. When you react, that fence will never be the same, he said. When you react in anger to someone, they leave a scar, just like those nail holes leave in the fence. You can harm someone verbally or physically. It doesn't matter how many times you say, I'm sorry. That scar will remain in their memory forever. Let's consider for a moment a few things that stress and anger can do for us physically as well. And I'm sure there's people here that know more about this than I. But it can cause everything from ulcers to hives to insomnia to elevate your blood pressure, even pain throughout your body. Just to name a few, simply not responding quickly and allowing time for rational thought to return is always the best approach. and a more Christian-like way as well. I recently listened to a young lady tell of her story, a 38-year-old girl, relating her story that when she was 14 years of age, her father had been murdered in a senseless crime. The killer was caught and tried and found not guilty because of lack of evidence. That same person went on and later killed two women, which she felt could have been prevented had he been properly convicted the first time. She said that for 14 years of her life, she carried extreme anger toward this man and wished for the worst of him every day that he sat in prison for his latest crime. The anger she harbored was destroying her emotional health. We can all understand that rage and anger toward him. It consumed her so much, it affected her marriage, her children, and perhaps even people that she interacted with in her daily life. For her own health and well-being, she chose to move beyond her anger and turn it over to the Lord and placed it in his hands one day, thus finding freedom and peace for the first time in 14 years. This story is repeated so often until one turns to the Lord to find relief. How slow we are to seek his comfort and peace and direction when injustices fall upon us. In our daily activities or work, we touch the lives of many and have opportunity to show by our attitude or our conversations a side of us that they may never have known. Our conversations should be honest, genuine, and sincere, and with no pretenses of any kind. In doing so, we might show to others a kinder way of dealing with issues and adversity that affect them at times. I've worked trying to do this through my working years, not totally successful, though, at times, I'm sure. And I'm okay as well when others think that I should be offended when I'm really not at all. Aren't we to be a peculiar people and not followers of the world? I've tried to be an example of my faith when I was working and employed, and not let the coarseness of others influence me. It took work at times, but I wasn't always successful at it either, I'll admit. But as time went on, I learned the expression that was once given by one of our former first ladies, just say no, when you didn't want to be part of their gathering or whatever it was. If we could only be as successful as the example Christ laid before us, how he dealt with adversity and people who were much less kind. In the Sermon on the Mount, the message that Christ gave included instructions on being meek and being a peacemaker. Both characteristics of one who has no inclination to be confrontational with anyone. Would we not be a more blessed person if we only chose that approach each time we are put to the test? Many a person may have grieved following harsh remarks spoken to someone in anger and reinforced with some act of vengeance. It's very difficult to undo words or acts that erodes trust in each other. It may sever a friendship forever. Perhaps that trust was just developing, or maybe it was well-founded. But no matter to what degree that relationship was, one feels hurt and a great sense of loss. We must realize that our actions and thoughts easily sever us too from the grace of God, as well as it puts us at odds and strains our relationships with a neighbor, a stranger, and our loved ones, perhaps. Certainly the Lord wants us to have a peaceful association with all mankind, but he knew the weakness and frailty of man. He knew that anyone that would not measure up to our expectations would be a cause for conflict in our self-centered world. So we see the wisdom of God that was given through the counsel and admonition of his prophets and the message that Christ himself left with us. They're guideposts that will lead us to a happier and a fuller life if we only would subscribe to them more fully. Today, with many people, at their wits' end, we need a strong, reliable force guiding our lives. Sometimes we think, if only God would show us in advance what we should do in a tense situation or how we should respond, it would save us worry and concern. I believe if we make the necessary preparations, though, in our own life, that small inner voice that we know to be the Holy Comforter will speak to us in that moment of need. It will give us the guidance as we need it. We have at our disposal a complete guide in the Scriptures. But we must review them and study them often. Many perplexing problems will come our way and test our faith and our love of our fellow man and reveals our true character. Some of these issues can be pondered for a time before a decision must be made, but some must be made in an instant when someone says to you something that's very hurtful or demeaning. How do you respond? And that's the time I'm speaking of. Some have to be made in a split instant. The latter will reflect your character as well as your love for others. I know that each of you here tonight know how we should respond to sharp remarks directed your way. But to use the cliche, do we always bite our tongue each time that happens? My father-in-law, many years ago, gave me some advice, unsolicited advice, actually, when I was much younger. He said to me, you will gather more bees with honey than vinegar. Maybe it was a chastisement rather than advice. I'm not sure. But I'm sure that he was implying to that remark that the tone of your voice that you use or the attitude that you project shows a true side of yourself. And a softer tone works much better than an unbridled tongue. The book of Psalms and Proverbs are overflowing with wisdom of practicing self-control. And I have yet to study it sufficiently to know all there is to be known in those two particular two books. Certainly there's a lot of wisdom to be found there. But on a softer tone and in closing, to digress, if I will, for a moment, as I thought about my father-in-law's remarks from so long ago, I thought about bees. And it's kind of strange in that regard. I ponder things to the point of where I'm analyzing too much sometimes. But you know, they're indeed a very unique insect. Their behavior mimics people in a strange sort of way. They generally live in large, peaceful communities. They have a leader in charge that creates a harmonious living environment. And they work to keep their surroundings beautiful. But there's an occasional troublemaker, however, that takes his revenge out on anyone nearby without any provocation. Sometimes others might come to his aid whether he needs it or not. We know with all this uniqueness of the bee, and how they mimic us. The fruit of their labor is very sweet and desirable. And I would leave you with one question. Why can we not exhibit a similar behavior and let us be known by a sweet and kinder disposition as well? Thank you.
Thank you, Harold. Oftentimes we react too quickly, don't we? We strike back instead of turning the other cheek. Let's bring our service to a close by singing hymn number 577, number 577, Onward to Zion.
Our dear God in heaven, Lord, I'd come to you now at the close of this time that we have shared together, Lord, hearing thy words from our brother and servant that has prepared it through you, Lord, that we would be those peculiar people that would become slow to anger and to harsh words, that we would think, Lord, what would you do in that situation, that we would be slow to respond, that we would be the true light of the world in the, each and every moment of our life, Lord. And as we part our ways this evening, Lord, I would pray that you would guide us this week and the upcoming trials and the happiness and the sadness that will become upon us as we go through our daily walk every day, Lord, that we would know to reach out to you, that you would bless us in many ways, those ways that we would not even think would be possible, Lord, that we would not forget you. And just watch over us as we travel home, that you'd keep us safe. And until we meet again, Lord, let us all feel your love in everything that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.